Okay, this is Keith Bearden, and I'm here in Amarillo to interview Dr. Gary Garner about his career in music. So, Dr. Garner, how did you get started in band?
Well, accidentally, actually. Band began in the seventh grade in Amarillo, where I grew up. And when we reached Sam Houston Junior High School, I did not join band, but my two best friends, Dick Brooks and Benny Bruckner, did. And they scheduled all the beginning band students in the same classes all day long. So Dick and Benny exhorted me to join band so we could have classes together. I agreed to do so. Actually started on baritone sax. That was the only instrument they had left. And that didn't turn out too well. I discovered right away that I needed something smaller. And finally conned my dad into buying the smallest instrument I could find, which happened to be a flute. So I was a flute player.
So over your career, or when you first started, you obviously had contact with a lot of people. So who were your role models and who were your mentors back in those early days?
Well, I think I had two mentors. Ted Krager, trumpet player, and actually I did my student teaching with him, and we were close personal friends. We played in what used to be known as dance bands together a lot, and I learned an immense amount from him. He was just a superb musician. And the other one was J.R. McIntyre, who I first met as a freshman at Texas Tech. Well, that's where I met Ted, too, as a matter of fact. And J.R. was just back from the military in World War II. And we were acquaintances. We weren't close at that time. I mean, he was a graduate student. I was a lowly little freshman. But it was after he started teaching and doing these incredible things, and we did become close friends and have remained very close friends to this day. But J.R., undoubtedly, in my opinion, is one of the three or four best band directors, high school band directors in the history of this country. He was truly gifted, and I learned an immense amount from him, for which I am greatly indebted.
What other things or events or anything like that helped you most in your career?
I think actually being a flute player is part of it. I just did everything Ted did. Ted was, I said, a marvelous trumpet player. He used his instrument in band all the time. He could play any of the parts, transpose them, no problem. And I figured that's the way to do it, so I did it too, and due to this day. And I often thank my lucky stars that fate made me a flute player, because it's the perfect instrument for that purpose. And you know, the one other thing, this probably surprised you, the one other thing that I'm most grateful for is learning the Eastman counting system from Mary Jean Van Appeldoorn at Texas Tech. Something I resisted strongly at first. I thought it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of. But I learned it well enough to convince her I need not repeat the class, which I certainly had no interest in doing. I'm sure she had no interest in having me do it. And I put it out of my mind. I was not going to be a band director. I was absolutely adamant about that. Post hole digger, garbage collector, yeah, that I could see that. But band director, forget it, no way. But again, fate interceded, and what did you know? I became a band director. And I tried the one and two in system. I don't think I'd ever been taught that. I think I sort of learned it by osmosis. And I could see right away that had its deficiencies. I tried relating it to the foot tap, down, up, downy, uppy. But that's very limited, too. And then, for the first time, I went back and revisited the whole Eastman counting system thing with an open mind, which I most assuredly did not have before, and realized, well, hey, you know, this really has some merit. You can count anything with it. Can't do it with anything else that I knew of. And there are really only five things you need to know. To the uninitiated ear, it sounds rather complicated, but it's actually not. And you know, without those two things, without the flute and the Eastman counting system, I think whatever limited success I may have had would have been much more limited than it has been.
Let's talk about your first job, like what your schedule was during the day, what your salary was when you first began.
Yeah.
What year?
Well, I was in college during when the Korean War broke out in the summer of 1950. I just finished my second year at Tech. And I can remember hearing the news on the radio that they'd crossed the 38th parallel. And I figured that was going to have some important implications for me, as indeed it did. I had recently become was not engaged at that time. I met my wife-to-be that fall of 1950, and we pretty quickly decided we were going to get married. We were going to do it that following July. But I went down to the local draft board in Lubbock where I was registered to see how I stood, and they said, well, we would like to see you again in 2 weeks. We're going to put a uniform on you. 2 weeks. Well, Reese Air Force Base, which no longer exists, had a band, and I went out to see if they could use a flute player, and very fortunate for me, they did. And so the band leader, Mr. Luce, gave me a letter guaranteeing my assignment to Reese Air Force Base on the completion of basic training at Lackland in San Antonio, which was wonderful because then we could proceed with our wedding plans, and we did. So I got back to Lubbock and after basic and was stationed there at Reese, and still without any serious thought of being a band director, although I had flunked miserably out of geology, which I had started in, which was insane, that I would do that. And so I became a music major by default, not with any thought of being a band director, just to stay in college. I was playing with a lot of good musicians, Ted Krager being one. And so there I was at Reese, and I had the good fortune, I didn't see it as such at the time, of becoming a dance band leader. In fact, I tried really hard not to do that. And becoming the assistant band leader. They didn't call it band director, band leader. And I wasn't eager to do that either. But in retrospect, it took me a while to fully realize this. Those were two wonderful experiences for me in preparing me for what I didn't think I was going to do and did, namely be a band director. So that was just a most fortunate happenstance. Again, like the rest of my life, entirely unplanned and accidental. Did that answer the question?
No, it did. And let's go on in after your military. What about school system? What public schools did you begin?
Oh, yeah. Well, so after I got out of the Air Force in October of 1953, I've been on a four-year enlistment, but Eisenhower was elected, and they began to wind down the Korean War, and a TWX came through from Washington, D.C., stating that anybody who had 2 years or more active duty, who was in a non-essential career field, which band was, and who wanted out, and I really qualified in that respect, could get an early out. So I got out in just under 3 years' time. I got out in October, and with plans to resume school the following January. I got a job at a chemical company there, sweeping out the warehouse in Lubbock, and when school resumed in January, I started back, and I don't know why at this point they had me do my student teaching, because I still had quite a bit of school to do, but I found myself student teaching in January of 53 with Ted Krager at Hutchinson Junior High School. And it was then, that's what really opened my eyes. It was then that I discovered, to my great amazement, this was something that, this is fun. I think I can do this. And I finally decided, yeah, I'm going to be a band director. And, so I finished my student teaching. I still had a year of classes to do. Ted resigned his job there to go to Columbia University to do his residency on his doctorate. And he recommended me for the job. The principal, Mr. Gordon, Jay Gordon, said, we can't hire him. He doesn't even have a degree, of course. So they hired my good buddy and yours, O.T. Ryan, from Plainview, where he had established a very good reputation for his outstanding work. So O.T. was going to be the new band director at Hutchinson, and I was going back to school. Well, after a while, the folks in Plainview got really excited about that, and he said, we don't want to lose this guy. And they upped the ante a lot. O.T. said, okay, I'll stay. And now, here it was very late. Hutchinson had no band director. I remember being in my garage at 3220 26th in Lubbock one day. In walks Mr. Gordon. I nearly dropped my teeth. What in the world would he be doing in my garage? And I still remember almost verbatim the conversation that ensued. He said, do you still want the Hutchinson job? And I said, yes, sir. So they hired this wet behind the ears kid without a college degree for half days. So I taught in the afternoons, and I went to school in the mornings. And so I just taught half time. My salary, I don't remember what my half-time salary was, but my first full-time salary that first full year, the following year, which would have been the school year of 55, 56, was $3,800. And so anyway, I finished that first year and fell in love with the job and everything about it.
And then it was on to Monterey and then USC?
Yes, well, I put in 4 years at Hutchinson. And then Ted had finished the doctorate, came back after that year. They opened Monterey High School, my second year to teach. He became the band director at Monterey. And I became at some point his assistant band director, and which meant that I was over there to help him for his rehearsal, and then I would do the second band. The cadet band, as they called it, wasn't much of a band. And then go over and spend the rest of the day at Hutchinson. And Ted left then to be the band director at what was then West Texas State College in Canyon, Texas. Incidentally, I've had four jobs in my life, and three of them I followed Ted Gregory. So when Ted left, I got the Monterey job, and I'm sitting here talking to another former Monterey band director, the world abounds with him. I thought I was in paradise. It was still a new school. It was, the third year. The school was open. The facilities were just the best around at that time. The principal was the kind of principal any teacher would only dream of having, Floyd Honey. Just the best, the absolute best. And great kids, most of whom I'd had at Hutchinson. It was an absolute dream job. Well, something else that turned out to be a life-changing event for me occurred the previous summer before I started at Monterey. A.R. Cassavant, who is a name I'm sure is familiar to you, wouldn't be to most young band directors these days, but in that time, A.R. Cassavant was the king of precision drill, which was taking over marching band everywhere. And he was a band director at Chattanooga High School, and he'd written his first of many books called Precision Marching, which I had bought and just soaked up like a sponge. And he came to Norman, Oklahoma to do a marching band workshop at the University of Oklahoma that summer of 1949, and Bill Woods and O.T. Ryan and I went up for it, and I found it to just be, I was overwhelmed. It was wonderful. And so I went back and started doing all this stuff I'd learned in that weekend marching clinic. And how can I say this without sounding immodest? It not because of me, but because of A.R. Cassavant. It was a big hit, And my buddy G.T. Gilligan, another name you know well, in Kermit, Texas, had written me and asked if I could send him my film, which I did. And then, the next thing that happened, sometime later, I'm sitting in my office at Monterey, the telephone rang, and a voice on the other end said, this is William A. Schaefer, I'm director of bands at the University of Southern California. We'd like to have you come out and interview for the marching band job. what? I remember, I said, I can remember saying, UCLA? He said, no, no, USC. I said, Southern Cal? He said, yes. And it turned out what had happened was Gilligan knew the marching band director there at that time, or had contact with him, John Green, all sorts of ironies here, who later, at my recommendation, became the department head at West Texas. And John was leaving USC to go be the director of bands at Long Beach State. And so that's how that opening occurred. And Gilligan had sent my film to John, unknown to me, and he was showing it there, and Bill Schaefer saw it and thought, well, I think I'll give this guy a call, and he did. And so with great hesitation, I did make that trip out there. I really didn't want to leave Monterey because, as I told you, I thought I'd landed in heaven. But my wife, who had a very adventurous spirit, much more than I, was insistent that I go. So I did. I got out there. They offered me the job. And I took it with a very heavy heart. So I left Monterey. I went to USC. I was a marching band director there for 4 years. And as I look back on that experience, it's just with mixed feelings. I had so many obstacles in my path. I'm astounded now as I reflect on it that I was able to somehow survive. We had two rehearsals a week on Thursday and Friday afternoons from 3:30 to 5. And about a third of the students had labs on one or the other, on one day, another third on the other day. So I would have about two-thirds each of those days. Schaefer was also insistent that I do not only a new halftime at every game, a new halftime show, but a new pregame show every game. And sometimes we would have Friday games because we shared the Coliseum with UCLA at that time. They had a Saturday game. We had a Friday game. That meant that the first time I would ever see the band perform all together was at the performance itself. It's impossible. But somehow we did it. And the range of ability with those players was astonishing, all the way from real artists. A lot of them went on to just great careers as performers, to some that were not quite sure how the case opened, you know. But they were great kids. All boys were not permitted to have girls in a band at that time. So my last year, we went to the Rose Bowl. That was in January of 1963. We played Wisconsin. SC was ranked number one. Wisconsin was number two. It was a game for the history books. First time it ever went, they didn't have lights to Rose Bowl. It was at that time, I'm sure they must now, but the last part of the game was played in the dark. It went on so long. But we won. That's really neither here nor there. But the band did a really outstanding job at the halftime, so I was able to leave on a high note. I was so frustrated with the situation I just described to you, and also at the fact that I didn't have a concert band. I technically had the second band, which is 8 or 10 guys, and it was those people that had trouble getting the case open. So I really was frustrated at not having a concert band, frustrated at all those obstacles, and again, Ted Krager called me and said, I'm going to be full-time department head next year. You need to come be the band director. And it was a chance to come back to California. Back to Texas. There were a lot of nice things about living in California, but I missed the Texas band scene more than you can possibly imagine. So the chance to come back to Texas was one that I welcomed with open arms. And school without, we hopped in the car and we headed for Texas, and we were a very happy family at that point.